are tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
There, Z Nation fans. Welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Z Nation After Show. Tonight we are talking about Season 2, Episode 7, Down the Mississippi. How are we all doing tonight?
I really enjoyed this episode. This one was a lot of fun, and I feel like we needed that.
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good to see more of Sketchy and Skeezy and kind of see them in their element.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. It was, as you said, definitely needed after last week's, you know, horrific episode ending.
It's a nice breather.
It was a breather.
Well, as you guys can see, we have a very special guest. So let me introduce my lovely panel, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet, K-I-A-X-E-T. We are also checking the hashtag, which is EBTVZNation, and we're going to have the live chat pulled up on the monitor, so those of you who are in the live chat, we can see what you're saying.
Back from across the pond, Michelle Cullen.
Hello, everyone. I am back. You can follow me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen. Tweet at me. Tell me your feelings. It's fine.
And our very special guest, Matt Cedeno, who plays Vasquez on the show.
Awesome. Thanks. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are super excited. I'm your host, Megan Salinas. Let's get the ball rolling on this one. So I want to talk about this intro, because we start off with two guys just walking down the road, and they get approached by an evil dentist.
It's this It says dentistry on the side of the truck, and it's essentially an ice cream truck, because it's playing that little tune, which is about the dumbest thing you can do in the zombie apocalypse when they're attracted by noise.
Is there a dumbest thing you can do in the zombie apocalypse?
There are lots
pretty
of dumb
far up there.
There's probably a list.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure someone's made a top 10 dumbest things in the zombie apocalypse.
Probably. I wanted to get your guys' take on this opening, though, because it's one part genuinely creepy horror movie, because you got this guy with, like, ice cream truck music playing, luring in people to their deaths, but at the same time, with this lever, it was a very cartoonish way of executing it.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, construction that went. I'm sure that truck did not do that originally.
Just thought it was hysterical, because it's like, I'm waiting for, oh, he's putting them under with gas. This is not gonna, chkung. I wasn't waiting for that.
Right? That was an unexpected surprise.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. It was entertaining, nonetheless.
Yes.
But I didn't find it cartoonish. I thought, how else are you going to get him ejected into the back? I mean, for me, it was very much a reality, you know?
You can't just toss him in the back. You need a lever it needs an entire engineering setup.
It's hygienic. You're not touching them then.
That's true. It's safety that way.
Yeah.
You know, if the guys in Jurassic Park had had this type of technology, they wouldn't have had any trouble getting the raptors in their cages. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like Jurassic Park had a lot of other trouble than just that.
Yeah.
So much other trouble.
However, they should have consulted Z Nation.
They should
have.
And
at least incorporated that contraption.
InGen, what you doing?
Hashtag Z Nation science, right?
Yes.
Exactly right.
I think there's nothing more sketchy, besides sketchy, than a dentist in the zombie apocalypse.
I know, right?
That's not. I would turn around. I love clean teeth. I hate bad teeth. I would turn around and walk away and be like, I'm fine. I'll figure it out.
And just someone who's offering out of the goodness of their heart, have you flossed recently? Let's clean your teeth. Well, we're going to put you under for this. I just met you.
Going to the dentist is already scary enough. Like, adding zombies and murder on top of it, that's just a little too much for me.
Well, the two guys that they got, they did kind of fit the bill, right, of well, there's a few gullible suspects on this episode in general, and they definitely fit the mold, right? They didn't seem like they were the type to be too shrewd and say, no, you look creepy and weird. You know? They're like, well, yeah, I could use it.
This
so
whole episode
that
was
seems
just
legit.
Talking tricksters and poor 10K trying to keep up.
Well, it's very
that
fitting.
That was hilarious, though.
He's a mute.
Yeah.
It's very fitting that we get, you know, kind of these snake oil salesmen as, like, our opening, because 10K spends so much time in this episode around two other snake oil salesmen. So it makes sense.
Who are just stringing him along. Oh, it's so funny. This poor socially inept kid is with these two guys who have charisma. Inept. He kind of is. He's a sweetheart and I love him, but honey.
But somehow it worked, right? Like, you know, he fell right in. He's a mute, so he was a mute.
Well, he had tried to make an excuse earlier and had just tanked it horribly. So it's like, nope, he's a mute. All right.
Do you have a stutter, son? Yes, he does, and he is very ashamed. So thank you for bringing that up. Like, I love Sketchy so much.
Yeah, let's go. Since we're talking about it right now, we'll get back to the river stuff later. But having Sketchy and Skeevy back, I know we keep joking about it, but I think these two are genuinely going to be the ones to survive the zombie apocalypse. Everyone else on the show will be dead, and these two will somehow rise from the ashes like two cockroaches.
That's
it's
basically
ridiculous.
What they are. They're human cockroaches.
I would love a flashback episode at some point in this series, just kind of showing what everyone was doing before, because I know we've gotten hints for some characters, like we found out last week that your character was a DEA agent.
Maybe.
Or was I?
That's the camp I'm in. Was like, that was a beautiful sob story. Too bad it's a lie.
Yeah.
But with all the smooth talking that Sketchy does, like, I just want to know what he did in the world before the zombie apocalypse. I want to know if he was always, you know, hustling people, or if he had an honest job where he was a smooth talker and it worked out well.
Like he was just naturally charismatic.
Yeah.
Used car salesman.
I was going to say door-to-door salesman.
Door-to-door would be good, too.
You'd be good talking about America. America. And not wanting to distract you with any fancy sales pitches.
I like my coffee black and my whiskey.
Straight
and my women tough. Well, and he was really playing to his audience, and he knew how to do this. This is after a guy who said, oh, the worst thing that happened to us was the war of northern aggression. That immediately tells you who you're dealing with and how to deal with them. And he was very good at it.
Did he throw in Clarence Thomas? I feel like
I remember.
He did.
There's just a lot of references that...
Not to jump too far...
I don't need to explain legal history to you folks. You're smart.
Yeah. Not to jump too far ahead to the trial, but when he's giving his speech, I'm just really expecting El Scorpion to start going into the lines from Billy Madison and go, what you just said was by far the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Everyone in this courtroom is now dumber for having listened to it.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Guilty. But they cut to Scorpion, and he was kind of like...
I feel like a Scorpion needed popcorn for this. He's just like, yep, keep going. This is the best thing I've seen all week.
I loved his response. That was beautiful. But you're guilty, bro.
You're going to die, bro.
You're going to die.
I do like, because, I mean, they took him away from his game. He was doing really well. So the least they could do is put on a good show.
Yeah.
True.
I'm still just kind of laughing at it. The whole... Whoever wrote this episode was 1,000% on the ball, and this is really, really what we needed for relief after the past two episodes.
Yes.
It was John Himes.
John Himes?
Yeah.
Bless that man.
Yes. I've said that several times. Bless that man.
He definitely, I didn't think I was, because I was actually, I'm not going to lie, after last week's episode, I almost didn't want to turn on the TV again. I was like, I don't want to see any of our main characters die again. I'm still emotionally wrecked from last week. I don't know if I even want to watch this. And this was a really good way to be like, hey guys, it's okay. And it was like episode 7 from last week, because, last year. Season. A little bit of a time difference there. But episode 7 last season was the spaghetti western, where we actually did have Sketchy and Skeevy. So, it was nice to have them come back, and it was also a very lighthearted episode where also 10K got attention from a girl. So, actually, there were a lot of parallels to last season as well.
Last season, 10K got attention from a girl?
Episode 7 when they're doing the spaghetti contest.
Yeah.
Yep. 10K. I love that half the cast is just like, we're going to get you laid. Like, it's the zombie apocalypse and everyone has problems with that. That is a pressing matter that needs to be addressed. Like, no, guys, we're in a horror movie. If he's a virgin, he's going to be okay.
Well, it's always kind of important. You know what I mean? If you're going to exist on this earth, like, you know, you don't want to go out a virgin.
Yeah. No, seeing these two guys basically go up to 10K and be like, we're going to teach you how to live. Oh, it's just the best thing ever. But I want to get back to kind of going down the river, because one thing that we haven't gotten to see yet is traveling by boat. Because the first time we saw somebody traveling by boat, it was at the very beginning of the season. And ever since, it's been like, let's get to every car that we can. So having to go south, like, hey, maybe going by river isn't such a bad idea. And I really liked this idea of going down the Mississippi, because what was it that was said, that this is like the
Tom Sawyer
Adventures of Huck Finn episode, yeah. Of just kind of going down the Mississippi River.
And it really was between going down the river and lying to people. There just wasn't a fence that was painted. That's all we were missing.
Didn't Huck Finn, it's been a long time since I read the book, but I feel like Huck for a while was with two like con artists.
He was.
For a bit.
The king and someone else. I can't remember the other. It's been a long time since I've read that book.
It's been a long time since high school.
It's been a very long time since I've read that book.
I'm surprised I even remembered that. I was like, I feel like there were two con artists with our protagonist.
Good one, Megan. Good one.
It was very impressive.
It would have been better if I had looked it up, but...
That's okay. I thought it was kind of ridiculous in a funny way. Like, it kind of set the tone even more for the episode that the owner of the boat was just chilling under a blanket with all those zombies and he was fine. And I was like, of course you are.
And why not?
And why again, not? This is another scene where we really see Vasquez's approach to getting things done in the zombie apocalypse is very different than that of our heroes. You know, he's kind of more of a shoot first, ask questions later, or if like people around you aren't helping, then they're useless, that sort of thing.
It's pretty straightforward, I would say, Vasquez is, and not really that colorful. It's very much to the point. Yeah. Very much to the point.
I mean, in the zombie in the zombie apocalypse, things are black and white. You have to just go for it.
Yeah.
Nope. But they do decide to take this guy down the river, or this guy helps take them down the river. And let's be honest,
they decide to take the guy down the river.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
He didn't really get his say in anything.
Just a gun in the face, you know.
And
persuaded.
Proper motivation. But then we actually do get reunited with Sketchy and Skeevy again on the most random place you can possibly. And he's like covered in like feathers, like he was tarred and feathered.
Probably at Graceland, I would guess. And they were in a paddle boat. And Skeevy was doing all of the paddling. I just wanted to point that out to anyone who missed it.
Sketchy, I missed that. That's pretty
Sketchy
great.
Was just chilling with his feet up, just, you know, enjoying the ride down the Mississippi during the zombie apocalypse.
Maybe they take turns. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Probably not. But
as long as they don't hit a zombie jam.
As long as they don't?
And then they did.
And then they do.
But I did love hearing about all their adventures, like, after the... It makes me wonder, is like, could we... Like, anytime... That's why I'm always excited when they come back into the series. It's like, what have these two been up to while we were gone?
And we have no idea if they're telling the truth. It could just be noodle incident after noodle incident. But, hey, whatever. It works. And then we went to Graceland, and...
I'm kind of tracking it. I don't think they've told the truth.
Something doesn't add up.
Boy, that's the first time that's ever happened.
I did love, thinking back to the FUBAR episode, they met Murphy, like, before the bounty was put on his head and before he became kind of this legend on the radio. And to hear them describe the Murphy in his presence was just so comical. It was great.
No, and
do you think they remember?
Well, probably not. I don't think they ever learned his name when they met him. So
it didn't sound like it was a description of the Murphy, right? Like, he was 7 feet tall and he had hoofs like this and
glowing red eyes.
And Murphy spent most of the FUBAR episode trying to get away from everyone else. That was not a happy episode for him.
And losing a tooth in a guy's neck and then taking it back.
That was gross.
You're welcome for that trip down memory lane, everyone.
That was super gross.
Nostalgia.
So these guys have been spreading tall tales, which, again, is very fitting with the episode. They've been spreading tall tales about the Murphy and using it to their advantage. Because, again, they're con artists, and that's just what they do. It's just the funniest thing. But as you guys mentioned, they hit a zombie jam. and which is essentially a bunch of zombies just kind of hanging out in the middle of the riverbed.
Well, it's like when you get sticks that are swept down river and then they catch on each other and suddenly you just have this island of sticks in the middle of water. It's that, but with zombies. They just get swept down the river and get caught on each other, so you just have this mass of zombies blocking the river. It's a thing.
Yeah. I feel like this would have made the game Oregon Trail very different.
Oregon Trail. You know that exists. O-R-G-A-N Trail. It's the Oregon Trail in the zombie apocalypse. I kid you
really?
Not.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh.
Oregon Trail, like your internal.
Like, yeah, like trail, O-R-G-A-N or Trail.
Ah, that,
but it's
yeah,
done
that
in the style of the Oregon Trail.
Do you still get, like, cholera and, like, things like that?
I think you get the zombie virus.
I always because died in that game. It
nobody
really
ever
upsetting.
Recovered from cholera, and nobody ever recovers from the zombie virus.
Now I.
So, yeah, that's a thing that exists.
I think I
anyway.
Made it to Oregon, like, a total of 3 times.
I made it, like, all the time. What were you people doing?
I mean, that's kind of what this show is, though.
Fifth grade Katie knew what she was about, man.
I mean, that's kind of what this show is, though, because they're heading west.
It's the Oregon Trail. Oh.
It's the Oregon Trail,
that's
but with
the
zombies.
Overarching theme. It's really just that game. We spoiled it, everyone.
Although, if anybody wanted to make an 8-bit
Cassandra
version.
Cassandra essentially died of cholera, and then we tried to bring her back.
Carl Schaefer, we're on to you.
If anybody wants to make an 8-bit version.
I see him pulling his hair out right now. Blasted after
they
Buzz.
They discovered my secret.
No, he's just taking notes at this point.
But
there will be a straight-up Oregon Trail episode next season.
No, but I will say that as funny an idea as that is, of just zombies being swept downriver, and then all of a sudden there's a huge horde of them, I was actually really frustrated that this scene just separated our main characters again. I know that because we keep separating and having to come back together, and this scene in particular, I was just kind of like, well, if you guys just swim to opposite ends of the riverbank, like, wouldn't you be able to see each other or, like, wave or, like, I feel like you wouldn't have gotten so far separated just because, to me, the current in the river didn't look like it was all that strong. So, to me, it kind of felt like a contrived way of just separating everybody, but I know I'm probably the only one that feels that way.
You're the only one, Megan, because you have no idea what happens as soon as you jump in the water. The type of zombie intensity that we have to deal with as soon as we get there is just, you know, beyond words. So it's very conceivable. Okay, it was contrived.
All
right, it was contrived. You got me.
You weren't there, man.
You don't know what it's like, man.
Well, between flailing around and trying to get away from each other, and occasionally the current is a lot faster than it looks, especially the deeper you go.
It usually is.
It usually is. So I can definitely see in the trying not to die, everything else is secondary scramble, that you wind up with some people over here and some people way the heck downstream over there. Like, I can see it.
The Mississippi's a big river, too.
It is.
A very
it's huge.
Big river.
Huge. I've never seen it. I've never been in that area.
Don't go swimming.
You weren't there, man. You don't know.
Yeah. Again, you weren't there.
I will.
And also, retroactive in the chat, asking if they're trying to get to California, why do they keep going east? Fallout. They have to get around the nuclear fallout.
Exactly.
You can't just zoom right through
it. You have to backtrack a little bit and then head south.
Well, so, yeah.
And also, kind of going back in the chat a little bit more, I apologize, I don't recall who said it. Someone made a comment about feeling bad for all the zombie extras that just had to chill in the water for that scene. So I'm kind of curious,
it's
where
real.
Did you guys shoot that scene? What?
I'm sorry, say that again. I was reading. I didn't realize it was that.
What
all of that coming into
river slash body of water did you guys go to film that in?
That particular one was in the Spokane River.
Okay. How cold was it?
It was a very hot day. It was actually an unusually hot summer in Spokane this year,
man.
Like record-breaking.
I'm sure that made it super fun to film.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was so, so lovely. I think we had like 10 days with 100-plus temperatures in June.
Wow.
So that kind of kicked off our summer in June. So yeah, it was actually relieving.
So it was nice.
So it's like everyone in the water.
Yeah.
So all the extras are like,
so
yes.
The extras had it easy that day. They got to relax.
Actually did.
He's good.
We actually have a question on Twitter from Mike_New York. He wants to know, Matt, if you were a fan of Z Nation before coming onto the show.
Actually, I had not heard of the show before I came on, honestly. Hadn't seen many sci-fi shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. So, no. I did watch the season before I joined, but I hadn't heard of it. Nope.
Nice. Yeah, no, there are a lot of, this is a really underrated show. I feel like there are a lot of people that discovered it on Netflix that didn't catch it on its original run that became fans afterwards.
That would be me. Yeah. I would be one of those people.
Yeah. I think the Netflix run doubled the fan base because it went up, so many, I keep seeing all the tweets about, yeah, I discovered this on Netflix, it was on my front page, and wow, I'm really enjoying it. Like, Netflix has done wonders for this show.
Do you guys have the statistics, like, worldwide? I know that it's either the most or the second most pirated show worldwide. Oh. Like, it's viewed by a lot of people.
Wow.
I just
that's
haven't
weird.
Seen it.
You'd think that would be statistics. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is number one.
They might be number one.
Last time I checked, Game of Thrones was the number one most pirated show.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I've never checked the top 10 for that.
Check the number two. Check the number two.
We also have in the chat from Alicia Perez, do you think Vasquez might end up being the next member to die or that he might kill someone on the team? Guys, just because they're on the after show doesn't mean they're going to die.
Although.
Because it's been, you need to have this person on for this episode. Oh, okay. And then it turns out that they die in that episode, so it's our last chance to have them on the after show, and it's not the first time that that's happened. So now all the fans are like, someone's on the after show, their character's gonna die. That's not always the case, guys, I promise.
Thou doth protest a little too much.
Well, nobody spoiled me for this episode, so I was fairly certain you were going to come out of it okay.
All right.
Because usually someone's going to die, whoever's booking me is going, no, you really need them for this episode. And I'm like, oh, no.
But working on the show, I mean, your character is a very action-oriented character. He's very forward-thinking, and he's in actually quite a few fight scenes. What's it like kind of working on the show, and especially in those really, really hot conditions now that we're hearing about that?
Yeah, they were super hot. If you notice, the action scenes kind of tapered a little bit for my character after episode two. Actually, on the second episode, we were shooting the scene. It was like first up. It was 7 in the morning. And I knew that it was going to be a very physical season, so I had been, like, trying to get in shape, and I was running and doing all this stuff to prep myself. And wouldn't you know it, I didn't, like, warm up properly. So on the second episode, I'm, like, running through. Do you guys remember? Like, I'm chasing Murphy through the yards, mm-hmm. and there's the pit bulls and the fences, and I'm, like, having to cut through. I'm, like, on take number 3 or 4, and I pull up because I snapped a groin.
Oh,
groin
no.
Pissay told us about that.
She did. That's right.
Yeah, she and I were both kind of, like, the walking wounded on that show for
just
a while.
Like, we're
and
then fine, you had a fight guys. Scene
huh? for that. And then we had a fight. Yeah, we had to postpone our fight scene yep. until, like, you know, several episodes later until we were both kind of healed up and could do it. So it tapered, you know, since then, if you really take notice, I'm like, you know, I'll bash somebody's head, but I'm not like sprinting around and, you know, doing too action-y type of stuff. So,
well, I mean, you guys roll with the punches really well because, again, not knowing that, you would never guess. Mm-hmm. So, again, yeah. it all comes out. It looks really good.
Yeah. There was only a couple of instances that we actually had to have, like my backup guy come in. He was our stunt coordinator originally. So for the most part, they were able to shoot things in such a way that I could still handle. Sometimes we didn't have to run and, like, cut back and forth. I was okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of running in episode 2. That was just an entire episode of running.
Yeah.
It was.
And then death.
Yeah.
And then death.
And then death.
Just reading that script, I was like, you know, I got it about a month in advance, and I was like, man, I better freaking prep myself for this. This is going to be intense. And then John Hyams, he wrote that and directed that one as well. So he's very much an action-oriented type of guy. So.
I was going to say, I feel like it probably wasn't 2 pages, but I imagine that script being 2 pages. Like, running is just constantly throughout it, and then there's maybe a paragraph of dialogue.
You know, see, that's a Doctor Who script.
No, actually, episode two, it was very, very little on the dialogue. Most of that episode was visually driven.
You're right, but the script took forever to read because it was so detailed. Like, each one was filled with action.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I mean? It was very yeah. descriptive. And then there would be a word. And then a lot of description. Action, action, action. And then a word. So it was intense.
Again, because you guys are doing your own stunts, is there ever a point where you're like, I don't know if that's possible. Like, can we even do that?
No, not really. I didn't really encounter that in, you know, until I went too far with the groin. But other than that, they all seem pretty doable. But I am Superman, so.
All right. No big.
No big, yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably take a minute to talk to you guys really quick about iTunes before we move on with the show. Folks, thank you guys so much. We love hearing from you guys in the hashtag. We love hearing from you guys in the live chat. And we would love to hear from you on iTunes, too. It means the world to us if you guys go to iTunes. Leave us with a 5-star rating. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what your favorite moment from season 2 has been so far. We want to hear from you guys, too. And it's the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on. It helps keep the lights on here in the studio, and it helps keep us in these seats here talking about this really awesome show. So thank you guys to everybody who does that, and again, to you guys in the live chat and the hashtag, you guys are just the best.
We love you all.
So let's get back to, again, for me it was contrived, but our group is separated. And poor Doc in this episode, like, this was really harsh to watch for Doc, mm-hmm. because he's the only one that seems really genuinely concerned about actually trying to find 10K, to the point where he's almost ready to leave the group over it.
Well, and we also just lost Cassandra, which, I don't know, depending on how you define it, some people would think, no, we lost her at the end of season 1, and this has just kind of been, and some people are thinking, no, she is super dead now, there is no... Basically, the divide between Doc and Murphy. Because Murphy is obviously still very unhappy with 10K about what happened, and is very much ready to just leave him. And has said so more than once, and also made comments about Cassandra, so it's just... You're not getting over that in a hurry, are you? Good, actions have consequences.
I realize I took a really long pause before I spoke. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I needed a moment of absolute silence.
And scene.
And go. I found it interesting. I do just want to say that 10K, the survivalist in the group, ended up on the east side of the river when everyone is supposed to be heading west, and the rest of the group made it to the correct side.
East side.
of the riverbank. I thought that was kind of funny that the person who is inherently good at directions and surviving in the wilderness was
got
on
lost.
The wrong side of the river.
I wouldn't blame him for that one, though.
I do kind of wonder if it's because he's such a survivalist and he's done so well on his own for so long that they were less concerned and he still knew the plan, that perhaps they were more comfortable leaving him behind. They also knew the rendezvous point. Like, everyone in the group knew about the bridge, so they were hoping that... It's in my opinion that they were hoping quietly within their head and their hearts that he would just be at the bridge ready to go. I don't know that that's necessarily
like,
true. I realize that's
took
a really
you guys
romantic
so long.
Well, and yeah. So what Vasquez was thinking. Gosh, I hope 10K makes it to the bridge.
You
I
heard
really
it here.
Do. Yes. Really do.
And he's like, how long are we planning on doing this, guys? Time is money.
Yeah.
Or
okay.
Whatever we have here in the zombie apocalypse.
Murphy and Vasquez did not care.
Okay,
Warren,
so yeah, Vasquez
Addy.
Probably didn't care so much.
Warren and Addy were probably like, he'll make it, he'll be fine, he'll probably be at the bridge. And Doc was like, this is my surrogate son.
Well, and I feel really bad for Doc. He and Murphy had this pretty good friendship, and they turned on each other pretty badly this
episode.
It is
dissipated.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, I think they really focused on the bond between Doc and 10K. They really kind of wanted that paternal relationship with he and 10K. And it showed, you know. Did it come across as insensitive for the rest of the group? Well, I know that Vasquez and
Vasquez, yeah. But everyone
Vasquez
else was
for sure.
Everyone else pretty much understood that they had a mission and they needed to accomplish the mission and that they couldn't just stop because of it. But there were varying degrees of that. And then Addy telling Doc, we can't lose you, too. I need you. It's like, yeah, you've been losing people left, right, and center this season,
yeah.
Haven't you?
And you haven't talked about it at all. And
no.
I would love it if you would open up.
Nope. Addy.
Nope.
Writer.
Keep that
she
inside.
She doesn't. She just breaks.
But the with this whole thing, because if they don't accomplish their mission, then that means everyone they have lost or along the way has been for nothing. And so, like, I guess when you reach that point in your journey, you're like, we have to make it to the end, otherwise they died for nothing. So that's another kind of, like, you have to get that in your head as kind of a way to help you move forward as well. So, on the one hand, yeah, it would be awesome if we could take time. But, and there's also that time thing, too, because Murphy is a wanted man. If they dilly-dally for too long, you know, somebody's going to hop on their tail. That's the way it is.
Amen.
Well, The upside is very few people seem to actually know what the Murphy looks like.
7 feet tall, right?
Levitating. Hoofs. I love the hoofs is always accompanied by this. Hoofs.
No, I'm positive of the zombie apocalypse. Instagram is no longer a thing.
Well, but that's also, if you look at this, we're so used to having cell phones and saying, oh, plans have changed, I'll meet you over here instead. Or, oh, I'm stuck in traffic, I'll be 10 minutes late. No more phones. No more communication. We got separated from someone in our group. If he doesn't make the rendezvous, that's it. We're done. We may never see him again. So it's definitely something that hits home for this.
Phones are awesome, guys.
Phones are great, guys.
I don't actually dislike Instagram. I just really wanted to stress that out.
I actually do, just kind of talking about material things, not to get on too big of a tangent, but I'm wondering about Vasquez's motivation, because his aim is the bounty on Murphy's head, which I presume is money? And I'm wondering, like, what in the zombie apocalypse is, like, I know that they were talking about Citizen Z, you know, his whole thing is, like, you'll be offered a cure and all this other stuff. But with Vasquez, he wants to sell to the highest bidder. What is the currency of the zombie apocalypse right now? Because we're seeing that with El Scorpion, too.
I'm trying to think of what you guys have seen, but through episode 6... wasn't it pretty revealing that that wasn't just his mission? His mission is fairly singular in that of revenge, right?
Because yeah.
He opens up, gives the story of his family that had been sacrificed by the cartel. So I feel like the group is just kind of secondary, and, you know, he can use them as a means to an end to get to the West to find perhaps the person who had done in his wife and daughter.
Okay, so for him, his currency is revenge, then.
Correct. It's a pretty singular mission. Yeah.
I still don't believe the story.
Which story?
I'm firmly in the camp of your tragic backstory was a lie.
It aired on TV. It's real.
It is true. Okay. When has TV ever lied to you, Katie?
Jeez.
But all the time. Do you watch Fox News?
But, Good zing. But, like, I'm just... wondering about, like, the economics of the zombie apocalypse. Like, I know that El Scorpion rules through fear, but, like, I don't know. I'm just wondering. And that maybe that's a question for, like, Carl and friends. Because
I think it might be Z Nation economics.
So, originally, the question was, besides, you know, I think that my mission is very singular of revenge, but in terms of the currency, if we actually deliver Murphy, what's in it for us? Is
exactly,
that
yeah.
Well, I think that it's probably twofold. We're hoping that he is, in fact, the cure, right? So if we're able to deliver him and save humanity, we'll be world heroes and we'll be, you know, lavished in whatever it is that we want. We will be saviors of the world and monetarily compensated, rewarded somehow. So,
well, and theoretically, the world would be able to go back to normal. Right. And then all that stuff would have value again.
Correct.
All right.
Also true.
Theoretically. I mean, and it's hinted at in the beginning of the episode when the fake dentists come across those two poor souls that they accept bullets, they accept medicine, you know, different forms of currency. It's very much gone back to the bartering, and I think that it would continue to be that way for a very long time. So it's bartering with most likely medicine, antibiotics, and things to survive, because we'd still have Cassandra if she didn't get an infection.
Yeah.
Yep.
From a barbed wire.
It's the stupidest thing. That's the stupidest way to go.
Devil's in the details.
It really is. All right, let's move on because there's still a lot to cover in this episode. So Sketchy, Skeevy, and 10K run across this gang who very, very much remind they're very stereotypical of, like,
ding 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 ding,
yeah, that mostly that, but it's they're the type of people that, for any of you who've seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil,
yes,
they're the type of rednecks the college kids think Tucker and Dale are.
If you haven't seen that movie, watch it. It's on Netflix and it's beautiful. Oh, anyway.
It is just a treasure. But they somehow convinced these guys that, was it Skeevy?
Yep.
Skeevy was the Murphy, and they all can't wait to get bit by him to obtain eternal life.
Now you have to stay where you are for 48 hours and don't wash the wound or anything.
These guys were pretty sharp. You know what I mean? Like, they knew what was going on. The rednecks.
Sure they did. That's why they let a strange man bite them.
Yeah.
It's so concerning on the health level, because human bites always get infected.
Yeah, we got some pretty gnarly stuff going on in there.
Infected. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that killed Cassandra. You need to clean that. It's going to be gross.
They should have thought it through.
Yep. But these guys come back during the trial, which is really great. So
they bit us.
While making their escape, they come across the dentist truck and they make their way to Burrtown.
I want to know where the dentists were at that point in time. It's kind of odd for them to just be not with the truck.
Taking a cigarette break? I don't know.
I guess. I thought they were dead. So them showing up later was like, oh, karma's here.
They were probably taking a leak.
Yeah, that was probably, yeah, especially if they leave the keys in the car.
At the same time, having abandoned the truck. Are we still working on the list of dumbest things you can do in the zombie apocalypse?
But you know, that actually happens. We had that happen on set. We had a prop truck full of all our guns and everything that we used for the show. And it had gotten stolen.
Oh,
just as the truck did. In reality, yeah, somebody had full-on stolen the truck and
that's really concerning. Because they probably thought they were stealing a truck full of real guns.
They could have.
That's terrifying.
And it was exactly that. The keys were in it. The driver clearly wasn't around the truck, and it was vulnerable at one point, and it was gone when we went back.
How'd you get it back?
They found it somewhere. They couldn't get the back open, so it was abandoned somewhere. But it was stolen.
Let this be a lesson to you guys. Always take your keys and lock your car.
If it's not yours, don't touch it.
Yeah.
It's not just zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, there's no need to steal other people's cars at the moment. That's just not nice.
Noted, at the moment.
In the zombie apocalypse, man, anything goes. But so they make their way to Burrtown, and I want to know what you guys thought of this really messed up, oddly southern, you know, town in Illinois. Are they in Tennessee by now? It's hard to say.
We don't know how far they got on the river before they hit the jam,
yeah.
Yeah, the zombie jam. So because that scene happened very quickly, that I at first thought it was very... Like, they got on the boat, they got going, they hit the jam, and then they were done, and it was kind of back to where they are. And to be fair, they can't have gone that far if the bridge was still coming up.
Yeah.
So I still think they're a little bit south of Springfield, Illinois, which is where Lincoln lived. And
it still had to be a town that was in the middle of podunk nowhere, even before the zombie apocalypse hit, because I'm still stuck on, yeah, the worst thing that happened was the War of Northern Aggression, like...
Yes.
Okay.
Like, to them, the Civil War is worse than the zombie apocalypse.
Do you know what I noticed, though, that really made me happy? In the previous episode, there was the bust of Abraham Lincoln impersonators. And now there's the reference to the War of Northern Aggression.
Oh, that's
and I was
true.
Like, yeah.
Noticing a pattern, Z Nation.
That's impressive.
I don't know if that was intentional. I'm a history nerd.
I can see
particularly
that.
Abraham Lincoln.
Well done.
Abraham. Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham. Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln.
But,
like, the really creepy thing about this town is that they actively kill people and use the zombies that are left behind.
Yeah.
As slave labor to generate power in their town. That's really... I think calling it a moral gray area is a little bit of an understatement.
See, I'd be more okay with it if they just found the zombies. Like, oh yeah, these guys were already dead. We rounded these suckers up. Unfortunately, nothing we could do for them. As opposed to the dentist truck of doom.
It's kind of like there are already a lot of zombies. Like, I feel like you just kind of take your
Let's make more!
Well,
you know, these are our zombies. They're custom made. Well, what if, you know, you do the ejector truck and they land in the back and the zombie has broken legs? What do you do then? It's a waste of a zombie. That's why you find working zombies first. You don't just go out and make them. There's no call for that.
That's a good point. That, you know, why don't they wrangle the zombies? Actually, that doesn't make much sense.
Probably, I'm going to guess is that their mentality is that wrangling up, tricking live people and just killing them and turning them into zombies is way safer than trying to wrangle actual zombies.
That's true.
I believe at one point they also mentioned they wanted hardworking zombies, so I think they went after able-bodied humans.
They want fresh zombies.
Yeah.
People who still have the capability of running, probably.
And you can't really tell how fresh a zombie is if you come across them.
Yeah,
in
no,
the field.
You gotta get up real close, and that's probably not safe.
You know, just corral some blasters and drag them halfway across the country. That works super well.
Those things, if those things come back.
If they could,
what do you mean if?
If they could never come back, that'd be fine.
I will be gobsmacked if we do not get more blasters in
the
future.
They're the coolest zombies. They're the best ones we've got.
No, they break Murphy's power, and they're difficult to kill.
They're awesome.
I will say I saw a picture that kind of went around on Twitter after that episode that kind of just, they had a boy band pose going on, and it said worst boy band ever, and I enjoyed that about them. I don't really like them existing, but I thought that was funny.
Well, you know that the crab walking one in the front was just super creepy. But I want them back because they're really well done. They're villains and
they're interesting. They're very interesting.
Would you say you want it that way?
Only if you tell me why.
We need to stop.
No! No, we don't!
Well, we need to stop, otherwise we'll just be singing boy band songs for the rest of the show.
I don't understand why that's a problem.
You kick
tell
it off.
Tell me why.
No!
I mean, nothing, but we got the headphones. Yes. That's a move.
Yes.
So that's when 10K comes across this this young lady who's formally...
It's
who's
not even
deceased.
Comes across. They've been making eyes at each other for the past, like, 5 minutes.
She
and then she
like
puts her hand on her gun
for
and
like
walks
an hour.
Off. She puts her hand on her gun and walks off, and he's, like, immediately attracted to that. Like, well, hello, yes, please.
And he was probably like, oh, you're pretty. And she was probably like, you are despicable. Like, that's what her stare meant.
But let's also, let's pick off the mute. Let's do
well,
that.
Well, I mean, it's
let's
not
get
like she...
that one.
She walked away and he followed her. She took appropriate action, I think. You can't trust anybody in the zombie apocalypse.
It's true.
Just saying. Especially people who you think are actively killing innocent people and bringing them for zombie labor.
So, yeah. How dumb is this? Like, I'm still trying to figure out how that happened with her. Like, did she and her husband get separated and she comes to this town and find out he's there? Or did they kill him in front of her? Or I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, we didn't get a whole lot of details on... Maybe he died of natural causes and they were just like, oh, fresh zombie is right here. We don't even have to go pet.
Could be.
Put him to work.
Yeah, exactly. Pull your weight. And with this whole thing, and it's interesting, too, as to why she would stick around.
Revenge.
That's very true. But this whole town, to me, reminded me a lot of... I don't want to necessarily make the comparison to The Walking Dead, but it did remind me a lot of Woodbury. You have this very charismatic, you know, southern leader... And a town that, like, uses zombies for their own devices. It was very creepy.
Mm. This is like the Woodbury trailer park, though.
Woodbury adjacent? Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true. Woodbury was very much like a gated community. This was a lot of, like, trailers and barbecues.
Although, yeah, it's very much a Woodbury trailer park.
But
I
again,
get what you're saying. It does very much draw parallels. Yeah,
I will be honest too. I was very surprised that these guys reported to El Scorpion. Like when he rolled up for the trial, I was like, "What is he doing here? He clearly has his fingers in everything." Like that, it's terrifying to think of how much power this organization has.
It's probably the only organization that is still organized. I mean, think about that. You're in the zombie apocalypse. Government has fallen apart, both local and state and federal. And then these people are extremely organized, extremely well-armed, and probably have a pretty good place to hole up. Is it any wonder that they're in power now?
They do. They do seem to have their stuff together. Maybe.
I don't know how much we can give away, but you will find out more about their organization.
I interviewed Carl, and he told me a lot.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Because some of you guys and your projections are pretty spot on, so that must be...
We're all psychic.
But it is, again, it's very fascinating because I just thought this was this autonomous little group, and then here they come. So their infrastructure spans over probably the entire country at this point, or what's left of it.
And I feel like they must have more enforcers out there, but a scorpion's just fun.
Maybe
like,
he's the Midwest liaison. Because, I mean, and I don't say that as comically as it probably came out. but he was in Minneapolis, and he's basically been following
He was also
our
in
group.
Wyoming.
Yeah, he's been following our group kind of from the beginning. And at this point, does he know actively that Murphy is with that group of survivors? I don't think he saw them leaving.
I don't think so.
I think everyone in Wyoming knows that the
We're
Murphy
looking at
is
you,
there.
Vasquez.
But I feel like it's just been a lot of randomly intersecting with where our group is without specifically following the Murphy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although we're all calling it the Murphy now.
Well, it's
I like to call him Alvin. That's his name.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suiting.
But it's something where it seems like it's too much of a coincidence for him to just be in the area where our group keeps popping up. So mm-hmm. there has to be something going on. He's either tailing them or this is just the biggest string of coincidences that we've ever seen.
Or is it your fault?
I knew that was coming. Am I somehow giving them information?
You were on the walkie.
I was on the walkie, wasn't I? Covering my mouth at that.
Like
I couldn't read
lot.
The lips or anything.
Yep.
It was like,
yep.
Hablando en español. Totalmente.
I do feel really bad because whenever there is a conversation in Spanish, I'm like, God dang it, it's been so long since I've spoken Spanish. I don't know what anyone's saying. Curses.
Just put the Google Translator up to the TV.
There you go.
I'm just like, why don't we have subtitles? Does anyone out there know what they're saying in Spanish?
I'm sure somebody does.
This
I
is
would
the point
venture
where
to
I,
guess.
This is the point where I hit up the internet and go, guys, tell me.
But to move on, we should probably still finish talking about the episode. Because we have this scene at the bridge with Doc. I was so surprised to see her run up, the girl that 10K had been talking to. But again, it made sense. I had been hoping that she would have run a little earlier so that she didn't miss them, but it was really interesting to see that, like, she clearly had no allegiance to this group because of what they did to her husband. So I was kind of hoping she was gonna join the gang. But yeah, no, it didn't look like that. That was a shame.
Well, of course, yeah. One of our overarching problems is that we can't get 10K laid.
That's true.
And that would be way too easy if she was part of the group.
Well, she also just mercied her husband, so that's, it's a little rough.
It's true. Rough. But I do want to talk about this escape scene real quick while we still have time. Because that you know, they're getting ready to hang them, which is kind of an archaic and inefficient way if it, like, gives your heroes time for an escape.
Do you think they just leave the zombies there?
No. They would put them to work. That's a waste of zombie labor. And, yeah, I feel like they would cause problems eventually. But I did love this scene a lot because it was very reminiscent of the end of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes!
I thought that was a ton of fun to just have our heroes come in guns blazing and save the day.
Just felt bad for Skeevy because they shot down Sketchy and 10K, and then I thought there was going to be a third shot coming.
It took a while.
You kept waiting for it. I was like, no.
I just love that Addie's aim is that good with a one-handed grip on the gun, because that is incredibly difficult to do. That's why you usually see professionals have both hands.
You just saw the look on her face, too, before she accomplished it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But it's just, this is not an easy thing to...
Got it.
It looks completely badass, but it's very difficult to actually execute in real life.
Have you tried it?
No. But I do a lot of reading.
I know this isn't actually how it happened, but I like to think they were both aiming for 10K's rope. And one of them just accidentally shot down Sketchy. It was like, okay.
Good enough. Sure. Good enough.
That works, too.
Which is why the third shot wasn't coming. It's like, we have priorities, we accomplish those oh, yeah, okay.
But now El Scorpion has kind of another reason to chase these guys down, because he was there when this firefight started happening. It's not like he was like, okay, hang them, and then left. like they were actively shooting in his direction. He's not going to take that lightly.
That's right.
True.
That's a dangerous thing to do to a guy who has a bazooka.
I just loved him getting hustled off the stage by his security and still drawing his gun and getting into the fray. Just, I loved it.
I think that says a lot about the kind of man he is.
Yes. He is a lot of fun. He just, this whole episode was just like, I need to go make popcorn because this is beautiful.
And he had his golf club.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, they interrupted his golf game.
Oh. Yeah.
Instead of the bazooka, he came out of the car with his golf club.
I missed that somehow.
Exactly, as the gavel. So.
And we had a question. I want to say it was also from Alicia Perez, but I'm probably mistaken. I can't find it. But we have a question on the hashtag because the writers in general and the producers are very collaborative. Whose idea was it to have this kind of episode as like a Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid homage? Because we got that very much at the end.
Yeah. I want to say that it was John's. I'm not entirely certain they didn't pass that on, but I think it was John's. Yeah.
No, it was fun. And because the show also does a ton of different genres, I want to know what, because we have the Western, we have, the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, we do a lot of different things. What type of genre would you like to see an episode cover?
That it hasn't covered already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we pretty much covered the gamut this season by the
end
of it.
Yeah, no, there's a tons lot of genres. Of
that's a good question. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Murder mystery.
I left very satisfied and not feeling like I needed to go into yet another genre. I was good.
It's true. You get a little sci-fi here and there. Of course, horror. So, yeah, you get a lot of fun stuff in this.
Next week we have some good stuff coming up.
We do indeed. So, yeah, let's go ahead and roll into predictions, unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about from this episode.
Too late. Light show.
We've come too far. We can't talk about the episode now. We have to look forward. We have to look towards the future.
I feel like we have to talk about the preview because both the hashtag and the chat are going crazy over this George R. R. Martin zombie, you guys.
Hashtag winter is rotting. Was that?
Yes.
Was that with the tagline for this preview?
They were up in Spokane for Worldcon for the Hugos, which is when this was filming. So they just asked him in and he went, yeah. So he filmed for an afternoon and they got that bid and... Yeah, good times.
And we heard at the end of last season when we had them, or at some point this season, I don't remember, but we've heard that there is a person who collects zombies.
This is from Michael, right?
Yeah. So somebody who kind of is like a collector, which for any of you guys who've seen that Treehouse of Horrors with comic book guy, it's going to be like that, but with zombies. That's really creepy.
I kind of love it.
But there's a guy just rounding up celebrity zombies because he can.
I'm very intrigued who else is going to be in in this little horror house.
I feel like George might be their biggest name.
Probably.
Because, again, it's a small production shooting in Spokane.
But I'm also kind of hoping, like, Snooki is there or someone, like, bringing it back a couple years.
It's a small production shooting in Spokane.
Bill Murray in zombie makeup.
Bill Murray, yes. Yes. Oh, that would be amazing.
He's like, don't worry, I'm not actually a zombie. Just dress this way. It's no big deal. All right, well, do you guys have any other predictions for this week or for next week's episode?
I don't know about next week in general, just season overall. I don't think... I think we're going to wind up with another
confrontation.
It's been a really long weekend, you guys. Another confrontation between Murphy and Tenkei about you killed Cassandra, she wasn't really alive. Like, I think this is not going away. And we saw it dealt with a little bit in this episode, but this is something that's going to stick with them. And I think it's going to come back to bite them in when they can least afford it. So to speak. But I'm Tish.
Boo.
I can't word today. Give me that at least.
Boo.
The I chat liked it. Wants. Thank you. Thank you. See? See?
Yes.
I got the guy that matters on my side.
Zombie Robert Pattinson.
That's
yes.
The chat like Zombie Robert
yes,
Pattinson.
Yes, please. That would be hysterical.
Wrong monster, but he'd probably be down for that.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
No, he seems like he's got a really good sense of humor.
He does.
Good.
You have to be in that movie.
I'm intrigued because, as we saw at the end of last week's episode, Murphy handed Lucy off, and he clearly bit the couple, and I don't know why he's so fond of the cheekbone. Like, it's a weird...
Yeah.
It's a weird place, Murphy, to bite. But we saw what happened with Cassandra, and I don't know if that's because she was near death, but the couple was talking very coherently, much like Cassandra did after she was initially bit. But I don't know how they're going to devolve with a child. So I'm curious to see what happens when that storyline comes back into play. And I also think people were asking in the chat what's been going on with Citizen Z because he's been out.
He's been out for several episodes.
Several episodes. I kind of think, and I don't know if it's not, I obviously don't know if it's necessarily true. We're in predictions. That he has left his bunker and he's trying to head down through Canada and into, you know, the United States to meet up with anyone at this point.
I'm waiting for the moment where he shows up with his dog just, like, on the road. And he's like, I've been looking for you guys.
I kind of feel like that's where it's going to go.
He does have a train sled
It's really
dog.
Fun to hear you guys' predictions because some are very, very accurate and some, you know, it's just...
It's like, wow, you guys are way off.
Robert Pattinson is coming, guys.
We did get Carl on Twitter talking with... He talks with D.C. Douglas, and it's the funniest dang thing, because D.C. Douglas was Pa Kettle, and we did get confirmation that they will be back next season with Lucy, that Ma and Pa and Lucy will be back, but it won't be until next season.
So we are confirmed for season 3?
As far as Carl on Twitter goes.
There you go, guys.
I mean,
that's keep official. Best TV. That's
Carl,
as it
Carl on Twitter says there's a season 3. I know you were asking about it earlier. So
keep that one in the back pocket for now. And
everyone.
Yeah, Citizen Z does have a trained sled dog on the wreckage of a sled up there. So
he does.
Well, it's a thought.
As creepy as the Collector has been, I think he's going to be just, like, another one-off villain that we're going to dispatch with.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the main problem, going back to El Scorpion, is that he knows who the enemy is now. Because he had met them before, but, you know, they were peons at the time.
A lot of people in that shootout in Cheyenne.
Exactly. But
Cheyenne.
So... I feel like he's going to start actively pursuing them if he isn't already doing that. Because I feel like if he is pursuing them right now, it's just kind of more of a casual tale. I feel like now that they've actively shot at him, that he's going to make them, higher on the priority list. That's my prediction. Anyway.
We're going to have a confrontation eventually. That is going to come to a head, and that's probably not something that they're going to be able to take care of in one episode. Like, I can see that being its own little arc.
What I want to know, also, just talking about characters and character arcs,
you just
need
popcorn, don't you?
I just need that, yeah. I don't know how much I can participate because I have a certain amount of, you know, script.
NDA.
One thing you could tell us is whether or not Vasquez has a thing for Warren.
Are you sailing that ship?
Define a thing.
Romantic interest, platonic respect.
The hots.
I definitely think it's safe to say there's a platonic respect. I mean, that was apparent from the get-go, right? She's a woman of skill. She knows what she's doing. She commands the group. Much of the same qualities and characteristics that Vasquez has. Whether or not that really deepens... They explored a little bit, but not, you know, well, we'll have to see.
Not to put you on the spot.
That's a little bit on the spot. But yeah, it was a fun relationship based on respect.
I like
mutual
that.
Respect. Yeah.
And Mike New York wants to know what Vasquez's first name is.
It does finally come out, but not until like episode 12 or 13.
Oh, okay.
So do I disclose that now? I don't know. Well,
if we know it's coming,
it's coming.
Use your best
It's coming,
judgment.
Mike. It's coming.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. All shall be revealed.
No. This show, no.
Well, do you guys have any other questions?
I think that's about it.
Well, I want to know, do you have any other upcoming projects that you can talk about? I know it's really tough with NDAs. Is there anything coming up for you that you would like to let our viewers know?
I did an episode last year of the show Power. Do you guys cover Power?
Oh.
Yeah, and they asked me back for a few episodes this year.
Nice.
So I've gone to New York for one, and I shoot a couple more. So, ironically, for Power, I play one of the cartel members. Here, I'm a DEA agent, cartel member there. So, it's been fun kind of straddling the line for both. But that'll probably start airing, I guess, next June.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Tons of fun.
Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so, so much, Matt, for taking the time to come down and sit and hear us theorize wildly about the show.
No, you guys are a lot of fun and fairly precise. I think that you are psychic to a certain degree.
Now I'm trying to remember what I said.
It's a good workout for your poker face.
Thank goodness we taped this.
Yeah. Gonna go back.
Analyze it frame by frame.
What does he know?
What is the expression on his face when I say this?
I actually do have, not to keep jumping around, but I actually do have one more question. Did you have to do any research about the DEA before going into this role?
Well, I have two cops that are brothers, so I did consult with them, and they actually had a couple of consultants there on set for the first few episodes. So a little research. Okay. Yeah.
It's cool to have that, like, source of information there to kind of build off of.
Definitely. Both physically as well. I got to learn how to clear the rooms appropriately. Both Kalita and myself work together to do things properly, because there's cops that watch the show, and if you don't do it right,
you
hear
know.
About it.
Nice, you get tweets.
Especially with two brothers,
yeah.
And I'm the youngest one. You get the phone call right away if something doesn't look right. Like,
why
yo,
would you
dog.
Do that?
Yeah. You know my phone number. At least consult, you know.
So, 2 seconds. That's all it would have taken.
Yeah, 2 seconds. So, yeah. Try to do that to look as real as possible.
Well, again, it ends up looking great. We're really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, thank you so, so much for coming onto the show to just sit and chit-chat with us. Where can fans go if they want to find you online and keep up with all your projects?
Well, I'm on Twitter, at MattTedanio.com, and not .com, just at MattTedanio. I'm newly on Instagram, just kind of joined the Insta family as well, so same hashtag, same handle for Insta.
Cool, cool. Nice. Michelle, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at KiaJet. That's KiaXet. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. And I am on so many shows here, you guys. Minority Report, Blind Spot, The Muppets. Ruby's coming back. We're having our first episode next week.
That is exciting. I'm so
super
excited. Looking forward to that. Hey, guys, I'm Megan Cellini, so you guys can tweet at me and Instagram me,
yeah,
at the Menguin. It's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I don't know. I guess people post on Instagram or something. But I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I also write articles for the Movie Chick, Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check out the Movie Chick movie news show every Tuesday. It's going to be a hoot. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to everybody on the hashtag and the live chat. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.